You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. In the Bronx, Queens, and Brooklyn, hundreds of people are learning what it means to be county committee members. That's because in last week's primary, voters got to choose committee members who represent them within the local Democratic or Republican Party. And because of this political moment in the nation, when a lot of people are getting more involved, county committees are under the spotlight in a way they haven't been for a long time, if ever. Here to explain more are WNYC's Yasmin Khan and Shamita Basu. Hi to you both.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Shamita, you attended a meeting for county committee members in the Bronx last night. You got to see the new members mix with the old guard.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Jamie.
All right, and we're going to hear how that went. But first, Yasmin, you did some reporting earlier this week to explain just what county committees are. Give us a primer on what you learned.
Sure. So county committees are the most local form of governance for the political parties. And they work to get candidates, you know, from their respective parties elected. They have a couple of pretty significant powers in that they choose judicial candidates for civil court, and they choose candidates to run in special elections, which is a big deal considering how frequently this happens in New York. You know, someone steps down, someone's indicted. The party selects who's on the ballot. These committees are also set up in theory to have broad participation. They are large bodies. In Brooklyn, the Democratic County Committee has something like 3,000 seats, and only about half of them are full. So there are a lot of vacancies, which means fewer people are having a voice in the political process.
And Shamita, you got to see the real deal last night, a meeting for county committee members in the Bronx. What was that like?
Yeah, it was held in this huge banquet hall. I'm told about 400 people signed in. Everyone was seated with their district, some had kids with them, and everything gets decided using a voice vote. So, for example, voting on leadership positions like secretary and treasurer, someone would make a motion to nominate a person, another person would second the motion, and then the whole room would say yay or nay.
Wow, just like in the days of the founders.
Yes.
Were there any close calls, or did it feel more like a formality, a rubber stamp that the choice was made already?
It definitely felt like the favorites were known. But at one point, someone stood up and addressed the room.
How are we supposed to vote on people that we don't know anything about, we don't have any information about them?
So he's saying it's a little hard to hear because it's a big room. He's saying, how are we supposed to vote on people that we don't know anything about? So at that point, two people were allowed to speak and make their cases. Otherwise, it was just names and titles and yays and nays. Also at this meeting, a group of reformers submitted a list of amendments to the rules. One of their suggestions, this group should meet at least twice a year.
What? How often are they meeting now?
Once every 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And get this, Jamie, 2 years is how long their term is as county committee members. I spoke to one newly elected member who thinks that rule needs to change. Gregory Carr, he's 31 years old, lives near Yankee Stadium, and he works on Wall Street. He said he found it really discouraging that reformers were being drowned out or jeered at or having their motions voted down. He also found it strange that at one point, leadership presented one slate of candidates versus another slate of new reformer candidates when there were enough seats available for a mix of the two.
So I thought, that's a little weird. Why not have more people involved in the process, not less? So it's clear that I think there are those that are invested in things as the way they are and may not be as open to change.
A lot of people I spoke to at the beginning of the night, especially new members, were charged up with this let's go get some democracy energy. But for some of them, their expectations were not quite met at this meeting. It felt like democracy stuck in molasses, moving somewhere, but slowly.
What a scene. All right. Looking ahead, there is a county committee meeting in Brooklyn next week. And Yasmin, people have been reaching out to you about, I guess, what we would call some fishy mailers?
That's right. Next week is the big organizational meeting that happens every other year where members adopt rules and elect committee leadership. And yesterday, I started hearing about these notices that county committee members were getting in the mail. They were asking for members to sign over their vote to a proxy if they couldn't attend. That's typical. But this was the second mailing that people received about it. And instead of having a blank line for people to fill in who they wanted their proxy to be, it was pre-filled with the name of the current committee leader, Frank Setio, or the assembly member or district leader for that area. And the letter was signed by district leaders and assembly members, in many cases, without their consent. That's what happened to Doug Schneider. He's a newly elected district leader in the 44th Assembly District in Brooklyn. These people are, they make up the executive committee. And he was very clear that the whole mailing was inappropriate.
Two letters are not usually sent out. And the letter was pretty explicit that they were encouraging people not to attend the meeting.
I saw the letter, and it made reference at least three times, something to the effect of, you can attend, but you don't have to attend. And I've heard from a lot of people like Doug and others that this rubs them the wrong way because it seems to be discouraging participation, especially at a time when there's a lot of energy around this committee right now. You know, so-called reformers have been winning more seats, and that might be making some higher-ranking party members uncomfortable.
What about this business of filling in the name of the current committee leader? That seems a little odd.
It is not unusual to turn over a proxy vote to the committee leader. However, it's not supposed to, there's supposed to be a blank there.
Right, you fill it in.
It's customary, at least, for there to be a blank there. And I've heard one theory that's going around is that this assignment was handed over to an intern that did it improperly. Mm. People are saying that maybe, you know, no rules are being broken here. However, it is very unsettling.
Misleading.
It is.
Well, I guess there should be some drama next week.
Of course there will be. It's Brooklyn.
All right. And we'll check back in with you. Thank you, WNYC's Yasmeen Khan and Shumita Basu. They are following all the action, energy, and confusion that people find when they try to engage in the democratic process and politics at the local level. For more on our midterm coverage, go to WNYC.org/election.